right, we're back.
Yes, we are. We're here with Todd in Florida.
Hey, Todd. Turn your mic up a little bit, Todd.
How's that sound?
A little quiet, but it sounds okay. Are you using a headset or a computer mic?
I got a headset going on. Is that better?
No, that's about the same.
Okay. It's about the best I can do. I've got it turned all the way off.
That's better, whatever you're doing there.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can hear you.
Yeah, go ahead. We can hear you fine.
All right, cool.
Hey, Mark, is Mark here?
He just dropped right now.
Okay, I'll bring him back in.
Go ahead. He's restarting his Skype.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry about that. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in. And at the first of the show, I don't know, I didn't get the whole thing, but you mentioned something about the guy Russ, SOV777 on YouTube. He didn't want to join the show. Is that correct?
No, it was his partner.
He has a I talked to him. He basically goes to the township where he lives and argues with all the town officials.
Mm-hmm.
And Tuesday and Thursday, I believe, are his days that he does that.
Mm-hmm.
And his friend is the one who did not want to come on the show because we're racist. He's trying to run for office in his area, and he's afraid that'll hurt him. But
well, I'm not a racist. I mean, I don't know about you, but
I definitely
am.
Well, guys, isn't diversity great?
I love all. Look, I love Swedish whites. I love German whites. I love Canadian whites. I'm not a racist. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't discriminate amongst white people.
Me either.
I tell you what, I'm a Zionist because I do want all the Jews to go to Israel. That would be great.
good point. I never really thought of it that way.
But well, anyway, I wanted to bring up a point. I watched a couple of this guy's videos, and when you watch his videos, it's like he starts a point, and then he goes like over into left field, over into right field. He cannot stay on one issue at all. And me and Mark were talking about this the other night, and you know, this is the first time I've heard this show with you guys on it.
It's great, isn't it? It's a great show, isn't it?
It's awesome. I love it. I guess this guy, Russ, he's aware of the problem as far as, like, Mexicans are concerned, but just like people that are, what do you call them, the Minutemen, they don't say it's a racial issue. They say it's more of like it's an illegal issue.
Cultural.
It's like a cultural issue, and I wanted to clear that up because one thing Mark had mentioned, I don't want to, you know, he's not on the show yet, but I guess you're going to bring him in, but he's saying that, you know, you're letting him on the show say what he says because he's got some good points to make. But one thing I don't want to do as a white nationalist is soften our message in order to bring people from either the Minutemen or people who are on YouTube making a point about, quote, illegal immigration, unquote. Because this has nothing to do with the illegality issue. What it has to do with is these people who are Mexican are not white. And that's why we don't want them here, and that's why there's so many problems with these people. Because if you think about it, let's say that a whole crapload, millions and millions and millions of Swedish people were coming across our border illegally, and they were over here. Now, would white people have as much of a problem with those Swedish people here? Of course not. Why? Because they can work. They can contribute to society. They're not having anchor babies. They're not in gangs. Okay? I mean, how many gangs do we know that are solely of white people? I mean, they're just not out there. And then, unless
there's Republicans and Democrats.
Well, yeah, that's true. Correct.
And Todd,
neocons,
you are talking to the irresponsible punk mob here.
That's true.
Well, I'll tell you, though, now, as far as the Swedes go, they do have some attractive ladies.
Oh no shit. Shit, yeah.
So, I mean,
well,
you know,
so,
you,
and
you I had to throw that in.
Mexican women that... they look like absolute slugs, especially these frontier people that are coming across. These people are like the lowest denominator of the scum in Mexico that are being pushed across the border because of economics or whatever. And, you know, they get into some of these southern towns in Texas and Arizona and Nevada, and you've got whole towns that, you know, the whole city council is nothing but Mexican. They're flying the Mexican flag. They don't fly the American flag. These cities are, you know, owned and operated by you know, illegal immigrants.
Yep.
And
brown power, man, brown power. That's what it is.
Right. So,
and I'm very proud of that.
And when we talk to people that are like, you know, from the Minuteman angle, that are like, well, we have a problem because these people are, you know, economically they're destroying us. Well, why are they destroying us economically? Because they're not white. Because they're worth for nothing. Because they'll send money back to their country. Because they're, you know, a huge criminal element, and they don't contribute anything to American society at all. Whereas if we had nothing but white people over here coming over here illegally, then it wouldn't be a problem. So we can box these people in. And I've never talked to Russ. I've never heard him on this show. But, you know, I'm sure he's got some good points to make. But, you know, the thing I don't want to do is soften the message of the whole immigration problem down to an illegality issue as opposed to a racial issue. We need to stick to the racial issue, and we need to drive it home with these people.
Well, if you haven't heard the other shows, when you listen to the other shows, you'll see that we absolutely hassle the absolute shit out of Russ about that point.
Right.
And it turns into hour-long arguments with Russ about, look, you know, he sticks to the – here's the thing. He knows better. I'll tell you right off the – and he'll hear this show, and he'll know – he'll listen to what I'm saying, and it's nothing I haven't said to him before. He knows about the Jews. He's admitted that. He knows about the fact that Mexicans are dirty people. And his problem is that he is a Christian man to the Christian. He'll tell you he follows the Bible. That is what matters to him, and the Bible says that it's not fair, blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is, we make no bones about it with Russ. It is a racial issue. We bring him on the show because he is putting a message out that we, and it is gonna get people on the fence and allow us to push them off the fence into our yard.
Right.
But we don't let it soften the issue. I promise you
and,
that.
And he is on the front lines. You know,
true.
Like he does face them every day.
Well, we did. We actually had this argument amongst ourselves. After, you know, before we brought Russ on, like, you know, is this gonna soften the message? You know, and we said to ourselves, well, you know what, look at us, we're all so different on this show to begin with, that,
bringing his angle. I mean, he was just bringing his point of view. I mean, all he's bringing to the table, it's all any of us are bringing, our point of view,
right.
You know, our time and energy, and, you know, you can agree with it or not. I don't agree with everybody, and I'm still formulating a lot of my, understanding of National Socialism. And I think more generically, I would term myself a white nationalist, and that's just how I understand it right now. But
let me say this about the whole illegal immigration issue, especially with this Russ guy. If you look at shows like, say, the Lou Dobbs show, now we can look at his show and say, you know what, that guy is right on. But the biggest problem, it's like, if you liken his program to like a bowl of punch, and it's like it's great, but it's got a turd right in the middle of it, because at the end of the day, he's going to say, now, we're not against Mexican people coming over here legally. In fact, we think that when Mexican people come over here legally, get citizenship through the proper channels, and they get a job and they contribute to our tax system, then those people are wonderful. But that is the worst kind of conservative that I can imagine, is when they say we like people to come over here legally, because what it does is it softens the message, and it says that there's nothing wrong with these people in the first place, and it makes them have this like victim status that
right.
It wasn't their fault they came over here to begin with. So you know, and people have to realize too is that the government, when they let these people over here, it's not by accident. It's not because they're incompetent. It's not because they're spending more money on the Iraq war. This is a total misnomer. They are calculating every day when is the point when there's going to be so many Mexicans in the United States, and when are they going to start, you know, increasing the violence, because they have one thing that they want to do, and that's to lock down under America under communism. How are they going to do this? They bring all these Mexicans into the United States. They increase racial strife between Mexicans and blacks. You get a bunch of gangs going on, and then what happens is the public are like, well, something needs to be done about this. So the public at that time will actually welcome communism into the United States in the guise of doing something about the problem that the government, you know, created in the first place, which is non-white immigration into the United States. So the communists have been doing this for hundreds of years. They bring the non-whites into a country, they increase the violence, and they say, well, we've got our hands tied, we can't do anything but change the laws, we've got to scrap the Constitution just so we can save America. So then they put a bunch more cops on the street, they outlaw everybody's guns, but the problem is that the white people that were here to begin with have to give up their rights in order for the government to do something about the problem that they want to go away, which is violent crime.
Right. So, well, is it good for Jews? That's the bottom line, and it
exactly,
is.
Absolutely. That's why it's a Jewish issue over and over and over again. It's a Jewish issue because the bottom line is they want communism in the United States so they can control the United States and divert resources over to Israel. Period.
Well, it's the Hegelian principle. They have an agenda. They create a problem. They just happen to have the solution that furthers their agenda.
Yep. Absolutely.
And, you know, it's just like everything the Jews do. It'll turn around and bite them in the ass eventually, but they don't look ahead. They're kind of like muds in that respect where they don't look far ahead. It's all about now. They look ahead for Israel, but they have no intentions of doing anything positive for this part of the world, for this country. And what it does is it gives them more votes for their politicians, having Mexicans here. It gives them a slave labor force. It gives them another ethnic group to hide behind. And it's good for Jews.
It gives them more people that'll kill more white people every year.
Yeah, absolutely, and that too. So, yeah, you're absolutely right, man. And I hear where you're coming from when you say, you know, you want to soften the message. And I know, Todd, from what I know about you, you are a hardcore white nationalist, and you
thank you.
You know, you're on point with your shit. So, I don't want you to think that we're not. We kind of have a freedom of speech policy on this show that the other shows might not have. With the exception of maybe, you know, I know Dietrich kind of has the same policy. But, yeah, we don't make any bones about it. I've argued every show with Russ about exactly what you're talking about.
Well, it's actually good, though, to bring on people with a different viewpoint until they come on here and you break down everything they say and you back them into a corner and you prove to them point by point exactly what they're saying. It's always a trail right back to the Jew. And you show them point by point. And then if they can't say anything, they can't rebuttal you. So when you bring people on the show that are like, you know, they don't like the symptoms of what the Jews create, but they don't name the Jew, then you box them into a corner, and everyone who's listening at the time, you got 300-400 people listening, it's like, wow, those guys boxed this guy into a corner, and now he's just sitting there going, you know, he has nothing to say. So it's actually good you bring these people on, as long as you don't, you know, I think I'm pretty
well,
far.
Well, you know, I think a lot of us, like Panzer said once to me, he said, you know, a lot of us have to come out kicking and screaming. You got to drag them in here kicking and screaming sometimes.
Yeah, that's true, and that's really what my mission in life is. Everybody I meet who is white is I drag them into the light kicking and screaming, and when you let them go in the light, they'll usually run back to their corner and hide in the dark.
Right.
But eventually, you know, you drag them out, they get sunburned, they get pissed off about it, and they can handle the light, and it doesn't bother them anymore, or bothers them. But, you know, I know I was one of the few white nationalists that kind of came into white nationalism on my own, completely on my own. I mean, it wasn't like anybody had to tell me anything. I kind of just slowly, over a couple years, educated myself, and, you know, actually getting into the Mexican and Negro problem was the last step for me. Really, I kind of still had a, you know, I kind of felt bad for them. Well, aren't the Jews exploiting them too? And, you know, I had to, VNN was part of my education with that aspect of it, so.
I came into it through an intervention of a family member.
We're going to see that.
And I heard I can pick on Poofed Nuggets from Australia on the forum, so.
Well, you know what's amazing is that
fucking unemployed comedians, I'll tell you. Get a haircut, you nugget.
Anyway, go ahead, Todd. What were you gonna say?
Wait. Before we do that, let me. I've got a little music here to bring in Rob from Australia.
Perfect.
Here we go. Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed, a poor mountaineer that became the sun's head. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crew. Oil, that is, black soul,
hillbilly.
Well, the first
Okay, we're back.
You know that there's quite a bit of distance between Virginia and Western Australia.
There is.
No. Virginia, Australia, excuse us all the hell.
Yeah, I heard Virginia is a lot more populated and intelligent in general.
But Rob, I know you had something you wanted to add to this whole Mexican thing, and you generally have a good insight on the political and financial issues. So what, in all seriousness, what is it that you had to add?
It wasn't the Mexican thing, it was the Christian thing.
Okay.
Because I got a friend on Stormfront, and her mama was giving her a hard time about the racism. And I was talking to her about it, and all I said to her was that the person who asked the questions is one that's in control of the conversation, not one making a statement. So when you get these Christians and they say, oh, racism is bad and all that, all I do is I ask them questions, and I just say to them, are you really a Christian or do you think you're a Christian? And then that gets their attention because they're like, whoa. And then I say to them, tell me the story about the Tower of Babel. What was the Tower of Babel? And so they go on and they tell me about this tower that mankind was building to get closer to God. And I say to them, and what did God do to them? He created all the different cultures and languages to divide the people so that they couldn't work on anti-God projects. And he was the one that created different languages and different cultures so that we couldn't work together. So if you're a real Christian and you're saying you're anti-racist, then you're working on the anti-God projects again.
Well, that's a good point. And, you know, it's funny because...
That freaks them out.
Well, the spin that growing up as a Catholic, the spin that they put on it in Catholic school was that it was a bad thing, the Tower of Babel. And that it was a horrible thing that everybody, you know, ended up speaking in different tongues and started babbling, and that, you know, it was almost like a punishment God gave us is how they put the spin on it. You're saying it's really not, that it was actually done for a good reason if you're a Christian.
No, but
it was the idolatry that brought on that.
It was a form of punishment because mankind was trying to circumvent the deal. The whole idea of being on earth is to enlighten yourself. Getting closer to God doesn't mean you can build a tower into the sky. It means that you've got to work on your own spirituality and wisdom. And they were defeating the purpose of being there, so he did punish them. The thing is that the church taught you correctly. Yeah, it was a punishment. But the thing is, what the Christians of today are doing, if they're saying, oh, we're anti-racist, not only did they miss the point, they're trying to evade the punishment that was meted out before. And it's the exact same shit the Jews have done. Because they say, oh, you've got to support Israel. You're just going to go back to the New Testament. And they said to Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? He said, my kingdom is not of this world.
Right.
Israel's not a mankind state. So they're still trying to say, oh, this is this. And they're sticking fake shit on top of proper scriptures, if you want to use it that way.
It's the Judeo-Christianity. I mean, it's the bottom line.
Of course.
You know, that's one of the reasons I you know, it's all logic to me. You know, they have lower IQs than non-whites. They do silly things. They act silly. It has nothing to do with God to me. It's just plain fucking logic. I don't want them. It's almost not even their fault, some of them, because they're just born clinically retarded, but it doesn't mean that we need to be around them and subjected to them in dangerous levels, so...
Well, that's true of anybody, though.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, bugs are bugs. I mean, they're
oh yeah, yeah. No. I mean, I thought you were talking about Christians, being around Christians.
Oh no, Christians. I mean, I grew up Christian. You know what I mean? I've turned my back on religion just because I'm one of those people that thinks you're going to die and you're going to rot. There really isn't a God, and that's just the way it is. And you know, nobody will ever. When Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door, I let them in and I torture them. And I'll tell you what, in 10 minutes they don't want to be around me.
Absolutely.
Because I do exactly what you say, Rob. I ask them questions nonstop about, you know, the Bible and this and that, and they have no recourse except to say, you know, you just have to have faith. You just have to have faith.
No. Their recourse is to make you feel guilty. Well, you're going to hell, and when you go to hell, I want you to remember what I told you. Fucking, they all have an inferiority complex.
Right. I'll worry about that hell when I die.
The problem is a lot of the...
Anybody that goes in your house for 10 minutes doesn't want to be around you. It has nothing to do with Jehovah's Witnesses or anything.
That's for sure. Yeah.
The thing is, the problem with the religions is they want to get the books and they want to read them literally.
Right.
And they miss the entire point. And as I said to Christians, Jesus went out and spoke in parables. He did that for a reason. It's so that you couldn't just read things and take it literally, and yet you insist on reading these things and taking them literally. There's no wisdom in literal reading. And, you know, I had this debate with a guy. In the Islamic faith, they have what's called a hafiz, and a hafiz is a guy that's memorized the Quran back to front. And you can sit there and say, right, in Surah 25, ayat number 5, what is it? And he can recite in Arabic and English. And this guy was bragging about how he'd been hafiz, and the Islamic school that had him out the front and congratulated him and all this stuff. I said, that's great, but it's pointless. And that, everyone's going, oh, shit, what do you mean? I said, well, memorizing all the words is great, but if you don't understand the meaning of them, it's pointless. It's just useless clag in your brain. The words mean something on two levels. There's the literal meaning, but then there's also the message behind the word.
Yep.
And if you're just reading it literally, a lot of it makes no sense and can be totally and utterly contradictory to what it's meant to mean. Like, you know, I get Christians saying that you have to worship Jesus because he said, I am the way to the Father. And I said to him, you're a fucking idiot. That doesn't mean you've got to worship the guy. He's trying to tell you, I'm your role model. If you do what I've done, then you won't do the wrong thing. He's saying, emulate me, not fucking worship me, you fool.
Yeah, not only that, they take it literally, but the thing people have to realize is that the Bible was it was translated from Hebrew, Greek, Roman, Latin, and then over to English, and during that whole time, each one of the rulers who had it interpreted wanted to throw their own little thing into it. So by now, you have the Bible that basically was designed to scare people into paying taxes and to get them to fear the afterlife. So if they feared the afterlife and you get them to pay taxes, then you've got people in your country living under fear. You can do basically what you want with them. It's all it's used is to control people, make them feel guilty, make them live in fear, and you've got power. You've got a reason to have government.
Well, what about the tax part?
Give them the solution.
Where's the tax part?
The tax is the tithes.
Right. Well, it used to be church and state were one, so it makes sense.
Okay, well, I mean,
Well, while we're on the Christian subject real quick, Tony, did you get that link?
Yeah.
Cue up that video. Do you guys remember the Son of Sam? I mean, I don't really remember him because I was born that year in 77.
Berkowitz.
Yeah, David Berkowitz, that guy that walked around with a 44 Magnum 4-inch barrel gun and just shot people indiscriminately in the streets of New York. He was, you know, a Jewish serial killer. Go figure. And he's actually now, I'll let Tony play the video and everybody just listen to this. There was actually the first interview in 30 years that's ever been done with David Berkowitz. I found it today. And it's interesting because it gets on the Christian and on the Christian level of things. And it's a perfect example of Judeo-Christianity and how...
Well, you got to remember, this guy's a murderer now.
Right.
I mean, I don't think
Christianity as a cover. Protectors.
Problem. Okay. I mean, what? You know, you have to take his current situation into account when you look. You know, when.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I don't think he's the spokesperson for worldwide Christianity.
Well, you'll see how he
arrived in New York City 3 decades ago, and tonight he's talking about it only to CBS 2 News.
Living behind these walls and razor wire is David Berkowitz, better known in this city as the Son of Sam. On this, the 30th anniversary of his reign of terror, he chose to share his thoughts and his feelings only with CBS 2's Scott Weinberger.
Over the next 3 nights, we'll hear a killer's most inner thoughts and shocking new details about his terror spree that you've never heard before.
I was just totally lost, totally in despair. I had no reason to live. I just surrendered myself to those powers of darkness.
Locked away for 30 years now, David Berkowitz recalls life as the notorious Son of Sam, the man who held New Yorkers hostage and in fear.
Warning, he would strike again.
Both shot twice in the head.
Already killed 5 people.
I dedicated myself to Satan and became a soldier, and I had the satanic Bible. I went through stupid rituals, and it was just... that kind of sealed my fate. After that, it was all downhill.
This is the Berkowitz of today, a self-professed born-again Christian.
I'm living a whole new life today, even behind prison walls, because God is not limited by anything. He's not limited by prison walls.
Berkowitz is considered a model prisoner who spends most of his time sharing the gospel with other inmates and Christians all over the globe.
I'm a man who doesn't even deserve to be alive, but it's God who delights to show mercy. He's the one who's, I believe, chosen me for this time that we're living in to let people know that he does forgive sins.
Do you feel, in God's way, he can forgive a killer?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Forgiveness also came from a very unexpected person, Nisa Moskowitz, the mother of Berkowitz's last victim, Stacy. She wrote to Berkowitz, and eventually they spoke on the phone.
I apologized to her profusely.
All right, and we're through with that one.
Yeah, I mean, so you can see this guy. I mean, did you hear him? He's so jewy. Oh, my God, I feel so terrible. It was Satan, and I was worshiping Satan. And yeah, 30 years behind bars, all of a sudden he's not talking so crazy. But basically...
He'll feel a lot less later when he gets to wear a hemp and necktie.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is that later on in the video, this guy says, you know, the guy that questioned him originally in 77 gets up and says... Everything he's saying about, you know, being born again and all this, a total load of shit. The guy sat there and smiled while he told me about every killing he did, like he was talking about how we talk about going to have a cocktail. He's like, that guy is full of it. So, yeah, there you have it. David Berkowitz speaks out, and he's recovered, and everything's fine now. You know, I'm sorry I killed the people. It's just too bad. It was Satan, and I was the powers of darkness. Fucking kikes. Yeah, interesting stuff. But there's actually they're actually doing like a 3-part series, so you can go back to that same page and you know, check out Berkowitz. I'll post it on the chat, the show chat for everybody.
Here's another thing you guys got to remember is that when Jews actually speak in code all the time, especially when they're speaking to each other, when they say something like, when they get up and they say, "Well, it's for the benefit of all human beings," you have to remember something that. Jews don't consider people, non-Jews, to be human beings. They consider them to be cattle. So it's like when this guy comes out and says, you know, oh my God, God has shown me the way, he's not talking about the Christian God. He's talking about their Jewish God. And it's not illegal for a Jew to murder a Goyim. It's like, so he's not apologizing for killing Goyim. He's apologizing for something totally different to his fellow Jews. He's speaking in code. And they speak in code like, you know, they don't even know they're speaking in code because they were brought up Jewish and they were brought up to learn that it only matters what's good for the Jews and what's good for the Goyim. It doesn't matter what's good for the Goyim. It's what matters is what's good for the Jews. And does it benefit the Jews? Well, if it does benefit the Jews, then fine, because Jews are the only people on the planet that are human beings, and that's what they really think. So when the next time you listen to their speeches, especially if they're giving a speech to other Jews, and they're talking about legislation to protect human beings, they're only talking about fellow Jews.
Of course.
Yep. And if you notice, the guy who did the interview was a Jew. The guy who was, you know, telling the story from the... If you watch the video, the guy who's telling the story from the hot seat, you know, at the studio was a Jew. So, yeah, I mean... Jews, and more Jews. Hard to believe they're only a couple percent of the population. It just seems insane. It's funny because every time
I don't even believe that.
I can't imagine they're less than 10%. I mean, there's so many of them.
Definitely not. There's no way they're less than 10. I mean, think about it. You've got New York, at least a third of the city.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together okey.
The Jews. Okay.
At least one third of New York City is Jewish.
At least, I mean,
in Chicago, and that doesn't even include Hollywood and Los Angeles.
No, one third of Jersey.
The whole state of New Jersey is Jewish, dude. I mean, it's insane here.
Sure, like, except for the Sopranos, they're not Jewish. But if you couldn't get 10 million out of New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles areas, then you'd probably count them with your shoes on again.
Well, what do they say? They say they're 3%, right?
So out of
300 million, there should, like you said, there should be 10 million. There's 10 million Jews in New Jersey alone, absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, there has to be.
Hey, you guys don't forget Bugsy Siegel, the Purple Gang, and what was that other cat's name? Meyer Lansky.
Meyer Lansky.
Yeah, and there's plenty of other Jewish mobsters.
That not many guys chuck in when they're starting to debate Jew numbers is that they call their law halakha, and it's against halakha to count Jews. They are not allowed to publish numbers of Jews because of some bullshit story in the Old Testament where there was some census, and it gave them the ability to massacre Jews or something. So it's actually against their halakha to publish real numbers.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense.
You were right. That's something different. That 6 million number is Talmudic, because they believe 6 million Jews are going to be slaughtered before their Messiah arrives.
Yeah.
All they're trying to do is make it factual so that they can materialize it. But they have obscured their numbers all over the place, something conic, and saying, oh yeah, we're only 3% of the population of the U.S., sure they are.
Have you guys, did you hear about the newest Jewish discovery over out in the Middle East? They're claiming that they found the grave of King Herod, or whatever his name is. They're basically the guy who called for the killing of all the babies when Jesus was supposedly born.
Herod the Great.
In California?
But he's,
out west?
No, in Jerusalem.
Oh, okay.
Well, listen to this. Listen to this bullshit. I mean, listen, there's absolutely no reason why they should believe it's him. This is why. An Israeli archaeologist on Tuesday said he has found the tomb of King Herod the Great. Now, this is the Great. They worship this guy like he's great. He was just a shithead and a murderer, supposedly, if you actually read the story about the king. The legendary builder of ancient Jerusalem and the Holy Land. I'm going to read why they say. Netzer said that Netzer is the guy that found him. Netzer said the tomb was discovered when a team of researchers found pieces of limestone sarcophagus believed to be the ancient king. Although there were no bones in the container, he said the sarcophagus's location and ornate appearance indicated that it's Herod's. Okay. It's a sarcophagus we don't just see anywhere, Netzer said to the news conference. It's something very special. So he led the team through, he said, what was not on the site when the sarcophagus was found. So basically, they're because they found a fancy sarcophagus, and because, you know, mind you, they didn't find any bones. They didn't find any writing saying it was this guy. But now, they found him. They found the king, the great King Herod. I just thought that was interesting. I found that today. I was interested when I read it. I said, oh, maybe they did find him. You know, maybe they found some glyphs or writing or something about him, but no.
He actually believed it? Come on.
That's the same shit that they pulled just recently with finding Jesus' tomb.
Oh, at a bus stop? Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was
yeah, but that was sarcophagus with no bones in it. Again.
Well, that was... That was
There's probably a couple of Filipinos working in a sweatshop somewhere at the back of Tel Aviv carving these fucking things. These guys are giving them 5 cents a day. Someone, hey, mate, carve faster, you fucking goy. You, we need these quick for the media. What's it to you anyway, you bastard?
No, I didn't watch the program, but, and I guess I should have, but I figured I had the angle it was coming from. But you're saying there were no bones in the sarcophagus that they found, that they allege, maybe Christ?
No, there was nothing in it.
Supports the New Testament story, doesn't it? You think
it's convenient for them.
You think it had been, that had been
yeah,
a little
but they
a
had
smaller.
They could chuck bones in it, or they could say there were no bones. If they chuck bones in it, then you've got something to test.
Right, right.
So what do you want today? Do you want to make it convenient for Christians, or do you actually want to have something there that could be actually inconvenient for your own propaganda? Because, you know, if they chuck some bone in there, people are going to be able to do some tracking on it at least.
I'm sorry, can you guys mute your mics when you type?
So, it's either that or just, you know, let the Christians keep going with the New Testament deal, which, you know, they hate that.
You would have thought. Now, you know, aside from the fact that there would have been something to test, you would think that they, other than maybe trying to cast doubt, you know, on Christian faith, you would think that they would have had some bones or something in it. I mean, the guy wasn't even an archaeologist. He's just some pop culture figure that has a show that I've never heard of. I mean, it doesn't mean anything, but he seems to have come out of nowhere. But you would think that they would have done something that would have been a little more contrary to the New Testament story. But
if it's too obvious, people aren't going to go with it. Remember, the Jew is an expert at doing everything in increments. See, they knew that communism, they could pull that off in Russia by coup. Fuck this revolution business, it was a coup. But in the West, they couldn't do it. So they founded your groups like your Fabians and that, and they are bringing communism in. They did bring it in by increments.
Yeah, it's here. It's here.
They can't just go out and say, right, we got evidence, Christianity's all crap. They can't do that. They've got to do it by increments. Plus, they're using Christianity, the Judeo-Christianity of your Bible Belt and all those stupid TV shows to get them to back Israel. So they're not going to do too much against it, even though they're obligated to in the Talmud. They say Jesus' father was a guy called Pandera, and you look it up, Pandera was a Roman soldier. They're not going to publicize all that.
Yeah, well, plus they want to keep everybody guessing too. They love
Indeed.
Doing that shit. They love doing that shit. They love. What was that movie? I'm having a brain fart. The movie with Tom Hanks and the Da Vinci Code. I mean, when that came out in the theaters, you just swore the History Channel was saying it was a fact.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean, boy? But what if the Da Vinci Code? They played it out like it was a truthful story on the History Channel. I sit there laughing like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, it's a book some jerk off wrote. Like, what are you guys talking about?
I'll tell you a true story. I had a friend here in Perth. He was a Jewish author. And he educated me in the ways of the Jews a bit. He said to me one day, you've got to get this idea of good Jews and bad Jews out of your head. Because I'm a Sephardic Jew, and I can't tell a good Jew from a bad Jew. How are you going to do it? So he said to me, my advice to you is just avoid all Jews full stop. Anyway, he wrote a book, and the first two editions or three editions were called The 13th Stone, and the last edition, he managed to publish it just before he died, and he called it The Secret Writings of an Alchemist. And funny enough, if you had read his book, you'd find that the Da Vinci Code is very, 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 very similar, except his is actually just covering the historical stuff and it's not a work of fiction.
Right.
And he was telling me about the prairies of Sion and how they were based on the Merovingian kings and that they were protecting the bloodline of David, i.e. descendants of Jesus, and they would bring forth the king to the world.
Okay.
I said to him one day, Lewis, I've got two questions for you. You know how the Jews say the protocols of Zion are fake? What if they're telling the truth and it's actually the protocols of Sion, not protocols of Zion? And he'd never considered that. And I said to him, because you think about what they're saying or what you're saying is going on here. We've got a descendant of the house of David who's going to be the king of the world and we're protecting them. Doesn't that match exactly the descriptions in the New Testament of the Antichrist? And if they're protecting somebody like that, then the protocols could be the protocols of Sion, not Zion.
Can you tell us what this guy's name is?
Yeah, I'm trying to think what name he used as an author.
It's not Zachariah Sitchin, is it?
No.
Is he still? I mean, this is the same kind of stuff that Sitchin writes and Richard Lee and Lawrence Gardner. You know, they all go back to that Priory of Zion, Knights Templar, protecting the bloodline of Jesus. He really didn't die. He actually went to France, that kind of thing. It's all very interesting. And
he was under the name R. Lewis. I think that was his name. I'm just going to look it up for you now.
That's a good Jewish name.
Yeah, well, his name was Reginald Lewis da Costa.
Okay.
And he used his first and second names. And what was really funny was he was raised by an Italian family.
Well, that's actually smart of him to use the Lewis last name. He'll sell more books that way.
Yeah.
Sure. Anyway, he was raised in England by a Jewish mafia family. An Italian mafia family. And when he got to a certain age, they insisted that he have something to do with the Jewish community. And he said to me, he was living with these Italians, and he was learning the Italian way of life, you know, about family and good food and all this sort of stuff. And they started sending him to this Jewish youth group. He said, I was 12 years of age, I went to this Jewish youth group, they're buying fucking airplanes from each other. Not models either, real thing. And he says, I went in there, it was like a fucking culture shock. And he had no idea that this sort of shit was going on. And, you know, he just despised Jews like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, you put a Jew by blood, no matter how he's been raised, I mean, you put a Jew by blood around other Jews by blood, and they'll basically convince him over to their side, one way or another. I mean, no matter how learned he is. I mean, how old is
this
he?
This guy hated him. He was in his late 60s when he died.
Okay, all right. I mean,
he's buried in the Anglican section in Fremantle Cemetery, and you know he had he was a typical Jew in the way he conducted his business. He had a store in Fremantle selling Aboriginal artifacts that he got made in Bali. Anyway, some Jew boy from Sydney ripped him off for $50,000, and he told me what he did with the guy. He got the money back, but just to make things a bit interesting, He knew the people in customs on Bali, so he paid them a couple of $100 each to arrest him on fake customs charges, and they locked him up for like a couple of days in this fucking prison fake customs charges.
I wish I could do that for a couple $100. I'd have all kinds of people arrested.
Yeah, but that's it. This guy hated Jews like nobody else could, because being an Sephardic Jew, the Ashkenazi Jews hate them.
Are you Sephardic, brother?
Well, there's a website, Jews Against Zionism, and
but it's no good either. You're talking about Naturai Carta, but you read their site and they still quote the Talmud. The only thing that they are on about is they don't believe Israel can be founded before the Messiah comes. Otherwise, they're no different to the other Jews.
Well, how else are they going to build the temple?
Well, they've built the temple, and believe it or not, it exists already, and they built it in prefab.
Right.
All they've got to do is knock down the Dome of the Rock, and they've got that temple built within days. Everything's built. They've got everything in. They've made all of the stuff put in the temple. They've even got a new priest class, the Kohanim. They're already trained. They've made the vestments. They have a Sanhedrin. And they're even trying to genetically engineer a red heifer. So, these guys are on it.
These guys are whacked, man. They believe all that shit. It's unbelievable, because the whole reason that they want to breed the white man out of existence, I mean, to the dumb Jews, I mean, let's be honest, we got idiot Jews, and we got the real smart Jews at the top, you know, who basically control everything behind the scenes. They know exactly what's going on, and they control the idiot Jews by telling them, look, racial solidarity leads to anti-Semitism, leads to a Holocaust. So all the idiot Jews are like, yes, yes, hate crimes legislation. While the people who are at the very top, the whole reason that they want to breed the white man out of existence is, I guess from their point of view, is that as the 13th tribe, they really have no covenant with God. And if the people who had a covenant with God don't exist anymore, when Christ comes back, the only ones that will be there to rule the world with them are the Jews. Is it basically that what they think?
I'm of the opinion that the Jews themselves know fully well what's going on. And one thing you've got to understand is that everything in existence is some form of energy. Thought is an energy, hatred's an energy, and like types of energy attract. So the thing is, we can laugh at them for believing things, but they also realize that if you put enough energy out, what is fact and what is not fact, the lines blur. That's why they keep carrying on about the 6 million Jews. They don't give a fuck whether there were 6 million Jews annihilated or not. They realize if enough people in the world believe 6 million Jews were annihilated, then the energy that comes from that belief will make it fact. And once they make it fact, they can materialize their Messiah.
Mind control.
That's exactly what it is. Everything is a form of energy.
Like bullshit. Mass hysteria. Not hysteria, but a mass... It is.
It's a form of mass hysteria.
Their whole thing with the Holocaust is to prove that, hey, racial solidarity leads to ethnic cleansing. Ethnic cleansing leads to anti-Semitism, leads to another Holocaust, which is totally bullshit.
It
can be true, but, you know, my whole point is that we can have racial solidarity without having ethnic cleansing. We can do it diplomatically, but we have to control the news media and the government. And that's the thing I wanted to get to is, as far as controlling the news media, as far as making our own videos, we don't have to go to the public and say, it's the Jews, because the average person in public, they're going to be like, oh yeah, right, tell me another one. Basically, all we have to do is show them 14 times a day how the blacks and Latinos in the United States are being, as a minority of the population, are committing the majority of the violent crime. And if you show this to people over and over and over and over and over again, racial solidarity will be the only option to them. And they don't even know that they're a white nationalist at that point. All they know is that we got to get out of here, we got to defend ourselves, we got to make bonds with other people based upon the fact that they're not Spanish, that they're not black. You know, so we don't have to give them the Jewish angle. All we got to do is piecemeal out a little bit at a time. This is what's happening in this community. It's going to happen to you as well unless you prepare for it. So, people who are revolutionaries, we have to, you know, explain to them the Jewish angle. Like people like Russ, either they come to our side or they don't. We tell them once or twice. If they don't, next, you know, move on to the next person.
The tactics you're saying are good for making videos, but not for face-to-face stuff. Because one of the things that really kind of lose people's attention or get up their nostril is if you preach at them. So you're far better doing it with this, you know, the way that Socrates did it. But if you're going to bring something up with somebody, pre-plan. Know what questions you want to ask them and have your answers prepared. So that, you know, if someone says to you, I hate getting on the internet, all those porn pop-ups. Hey, there's an opening. You can jump straight in. Oh, I hate that too. Who do you reckon makes all of it? You've seen an opening. Fire a shot through the damn opening.
I used that one today on somebody. Like, same exact one. Someone was upset, and like, because they don't like porn and everything, and they were like, oh, this person made their porn in the town that he lives in, and he's upset. And I said, well, that's not a surprise. The guy's name is Schnellenberg. Of course he's making porn with young girls. I said, all the Jews run all the porn, man. Didn't you know that? And he's like, yeah. They also run the media, too. And I was like, well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I just went off constantly. And
you know, a lot of people, they're afraid to bring up this stuff that you know, about the Jews and the media because they don't know what other people's reaction will be. So on a one-on-one conversation, it's right. You're absolutely right. You can bring up the Jews with people, and either they sit there and shake their head about it or, you know, they'll follow your lead. But somebody made a point today that I want to bring up that in Israel, they have more brothel shops and prostitutes than almost anywhere in the world. Is this true?
I've seen that too. Yeah, I saw that on the forum. They also said more sex shops, i.e. porn shops. But yeah, I've seen those statistics as well.
Sex slaves.
One of the
Think about it for a second. Before you ask that question, think from your own knowledge of the stereotypical Jewish male and the way they are absolutely obsessed with sex. Then ask the question again, then extrapolate your own answer and see if they all correlate. If they correlate, you've probably got a good outcome. So the question is, we know that they're obsessed with every form of sex going. Is that a likely scenario that they would have more per capita there? Bearing in mind they're also bringing in thousands and thousands of women from Eastern Europe as sex slaves.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is it likely? Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, here's my point is that if we can find a link online and make a video, one of the strongest things that Jews and the news media have in their favor is all these Christians in the United States that won't question the Jewish news media or the Jewish political action committees because, number one, they think that Jews are the chosen people. But once you show them that, look, hey, here's a link, here's a video, these are the brothels that we saw in Israel. These are how many brothels they have. These are how many women they brought in from Eastern Europe. Now let's show you the clientele. Let's show you how much money they spend and what they bothered after about. So then at that point, Israel doesn't look so rosy because you have these Goyim Christian channels. They'll have an hour or a two-hour-long program doing a video shot over in Israel saying, hey, we're in the Holy Land. These are the God's chosen people, but we're trying to bring more Jews to the Holy Land so they can be saved, but we need your help. Please send us whatever you can afford.
Oh yeah.
So that's
yeah.
the image that they have of Israel is this nice rosy image of how wonderful it is, but we need to present the true image of Israel. We need to show them, hey, this is what Israel's really about. They're involved in bringing art students over here to spy on the government. They're involved in trying to invent Arab patsies to terrorize the United States so they can legislate the Constitution out of existence. They're involved in, the Russian mafia is involved in bringing Eastern European and Russian women over to Israel to work for nothing and to work in slave shops and sex shops for the rest of their life. We need to present the true image to people as opposed to this stupid, rosy image that they've got from the Christian angle.
Sure. One thing that you're forgetting also that you need to chuck in, who's the major source in the whole planet of ecstasy?
Yeah,
Israel.
Never forget that one.
Yeah, there was a, what they do is they have Hasidic boys, especially in like Brooklyn, is they're the runners. Once they're taken over in the United States, they run it to the salesmen. And they figure no one will bother the Hasidic Jews. No one will even question them.
Well, another thing, you're bringing up a point that we need to expose Israel. And you said earlier, Todd, that you don't think we should bring the Jewish element into the we should point out the crime statistics and that kind of thing.
Well, I know what you're saying is I'm not trying to get off and say we don't need to name the Jew. We do, but we need to. It's like if we have like one video. Where we're if we go from here's what's happening in your town or in somebody else's town, within 5 minutes go from that to it's all about the Jews. And I'm not saying we need to soften the message at all. We do need to slam the Jews and bring out as much information about them as possible. But we need to do it. We need to preface it with like we need to spend 90% of the time on the symptoms and then say here's why we have the symptoms.
Okay, that's what I was getting at.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to say that we need to ignore the issue, but if we make the issue it's the Jews, it's the Jews, it's the Jews, it's the Jews, without showing them what the symptoms are, and a symptom of having Jews in our government is non-white immigration. Why? Because they want a police state here in the United States. Why do they want a police state? We explain these things. Okay, so, but we need to show them the symptom of why we need to deport blacks, why we need to build up a wall around the United States, why we need to deport Mexicans, why we need to, arm the white populace to protect themselves. And you're not going to be able to convince them of these things unless you show them, like the Shannon and Christian story, over and over and over again. And that needs to be...
Don't try to convince them. If you're going to talk about building walls, ask them a different question. Why is it okay to have a wall in Israel to keep the Palestinians out, but it's not okay to have a wall on your border to keep the Mexicans out?
Right, they're talking about building a wall in Iraq to separate the Sunnis and the Shias.
So why is a wall good for non-whites, but it's always bad for whites? How does that work?
Yep. Or gun control. They get to walk around with an Uzi. Or whatever they want.
You're an Israeli citizen, you get whatever you want.
Yeah, so what you do is get them to extrapolate it. Don't tell them. Ask them the questions and allow them to come up with an answer. And if someone challenges you, what I've always done is when people, like I say to people and say, oh, look, you know, the Jews this, that, and then they say, oh, that's just anti-Semitism and all that. So what I do, because I've got enough knowledge of it, I'll challenge them. I'll say, all right, not a problem. Put your money where your mouth is. You name a problem, and I'll challenge you to find one without a Jew somewhere behind it. Guaranteed I can always find a Jew somewhere behind everything they bring up. And you may not win them, but you'll get the attention of other people who are listening in. Like, you know, they may be on, you might be on a radio show, you might be sitting amongst a group of people, whatever. And once they see that, they go, what?
Everyone, I'm going to sign off. I wanted to thank everybody for having me on and thank everyone for listening tonight. Right. And if you can, just bring Mark and Callie in to take the spot. And thank you, Todd and Rob for coming on. Really enjoyed listening to you guys.
Thanks for bringing us on.
Are you signing off to go and get a haircut?
Yes.
Your nugget?
Oh, good thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to lose my nugget image.
You know, it's really funny. I was looking for some information the other day because I play Star Wars Galaxies online, and I was looking for some information for something, and I came across this humor page, and it was about the real ending of The Empire Strikes Back. And, you know, Darth Vader's confronting Luke Skywalker, and he's basically saying to him, you know, you're not my son. And, you know, Luke's saying, oh, you know, I took the Death Star out when I was 20, and Vader says to him, oh, big fucking deal, I took out a droid control ship when I was 10. So they're having this battle, and then Luke thinks, ah, fuck it, so he just steps off and falls down the chute, and Vader leans over and he goes, get a haircut! And I thought, shit, he's yelling at people too.
Well, here's...
Okay. All right, well, I'm taking off, everyone. Have a good night.
Later, Master.
Here's a question for you guys, for both you, Todd and Rob. Who do you... I was kind of under the impression that... I mean, do you guys believe in the elders? Do you think that there is elders, Jewish elders? Because I'm wondering who they are. I thought that... I was actually convinced that... that Wolfowitz was one of the current elders, but now with all the media bashing that they're giving him, I'm not so sure. Who do you guys think?
You'll never see them. You will never see their faces on the news media.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Even people like Wolfowitz, mm-hmm. as you know, it's like the interesting story was that he bullied himself into the World Bank, and he bullied himself into maintaining his position in the World Bank. He was like, I'm going to do what I want to here, and I'm going to appoint whatever secretary I want to, I'll do whatever I want. You guys are not going to ask me to leave. So even the UN and, you know, certain Jews here in the United States said, you know, this is bullshit, but look how quick the story was squashed.
Right.
Okay, so, I mean, the point is that I don't even think he is, I think he's just on the take and that's it. I think
really?
He's just, yeah.
Well, I think so, too, now that he's hit the media.
You're talking about elders. Those people don't work. You're talking about L.A. Rothschild, you know, people that have, like, I mean, the amount of money that they have can't even be hardly calculated. You know, it's like basically they are credit. They are world monetary. So that's what they represent.
Excuse me, Todd. Do you know how long it takes me to sit in my lawn chair and then count dollar bills? Granted, they're fiat, but in between the gold nuggets, it takes a long time. That's a lot of work. So you could just go to hell, okay?
Yeah,
is that
well,
with or without shoes on?
I've got sandals. I'm a true Jew. We wear sandals. They're made from the skin of the goyim. I mean, a true Jew would wear those.
You know, I have to say, I think Yankee Jam has the best Jew in imitation of all of them, you know? Or those guys on, what is it, the Jerky Boys first CD? That was the best.
Sal Rosenberg?
Yeah. That was.
Oh, you're saying my Jew voice isn't that good?
Your Jew voice is awesome, but there's others out there that are better. That's all I'm saying. You need to work on it, buddy. You need to go to the synagogue more often. I think you would improve.
could you imagine opening up a theater thing? How to sound like a Jew and then Rob, I think you'd probably make a lot of money doing that. I would think. I mean, call me stupid, but people love. I mean, you know what's sad is I was talking to a girlfriend of mine that I've known for about 20 years, and she's very, very liberal, beyond where, like, I want to, like, punch her in the poop kind of liberal. And we were talking the other day, and she, hold on a second, shut the fuck up. I'm about ready to kill my Rottweiler and my Shepherd. They're having fun. They can tell we're having a good time. But, one thing that was interesting when I talked to her the other night, and I actually mentioned this to Masher, was that she's in the film industry. She does, like, wardrobe and this and that for everything from, you know, Howie Mandel to, you know, the Tonight Show to this and that. And I asked her, I said, if you were Jewish, where do you think you would be now? And she paused for a second and said, if I was a fucking Jew.
Go ahead. She'd be where now?
Oh, she'd be running the joint.
Big band, by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Tonight Show.
She basically said that if she was a Jew, she'd be running the shit right now.
Man.
That's how it works. I mean, that's...
She's got confidence.
Well, no, she's not a Jew, and she sees what happens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got to be part of the tribe. I mean, that's especially in show business. That's just goes without saying. Absolutely.
I think it's funny. I've talked to reporters before, and it's like, or people that are like, they're not really reporters, but their job is to like process news that comes into the newsroom, and it's like they'll be like saying this, like, we get all this news that comes into our newsroom, and it's like we get the most horrendous news that comes on. And then it's like they squash it. It doesn't even go out to the floor. And it's like, it's amazing. They can't. It's like, this is stupid. They can't understand. They don't put two and two together. It's like, look, it's a Jewish conspiracy. And then when you tell them it's a Jewish conspiracy, they roll their eyes and go, oh, yeah, okay. And they're right in the middle of it. It's like, you know, and I'm like, don't you get it? You know, and they're like, you put two and two together. You bring the news in. You give it to the Jew. He gives it to another Jew. And by the time it's past hands of like four or five Jews, it's gone. It's a Jewish conspiracy. Yeah, I don't think so, because he's a real nice guy. You just want to yank their eyeballs out, you know?
Well, you know, if
someone pulls that shit, you say to them, oh, the Jews have done this, the Jews have done that, and they go, I know a Jew, he's a good guy. It's a case of, oh, sorry, I forgot, the exception proves the rule, and the rule proves the exception.
Right.
That's all I say to them.
Yeah, you know, stereotypes exist for a reason. That's how I say to people. You know, people don't just make these things up. Generalizations are generalizations because it is, you know, that's great. Okay, so one out of a hundred blacks can go to college and be a normal human being. Well, that's fortunate for them and good for you if you know that guy, but, you know, it means his family member's not like him. It means that his friends are not like him and they're dangerous people. So if you associate with him, you're associating, you know, inadvertently with dangerous people. That's the argument that kills me the most. Now, here's one for you guys. I just want to bring this up because it's actually in WCBSTV.com. It's in New York, and it's in their hate crimes, their CBS hate crime section, and it's a man that got attacked by seven lesbians, and they're calling it a hate crime.
I saw that.
They're actually calling it a hate crime. They're
really?
Putting in their hate crime, saying that, you know, it's a hate crime against straight people. You know, I'm amazed this got through the Jews. The only reason I can imagine is because the guy's black. His name's Dwayne Buckle.
Dwayne.
Did you guys read the story?
I heard about it. I didn't get to the details.
All right, well, I'm going to read it real quick. It's not a real long story. A man who was beaten and stabbed after a street fight with seven avowed lesbians testified Wednesday that he thought he was going to die after they jumped him last year. I remember being surrounded, my hands up in my face, Dwayne Buckle said, testified at the trial of four women. I went up into a defensive position. I felt a nick in my abdomen. I had my two hands in front of my face. He said he didn't realize he'd been stabbed. Somebody told me I was stabbed. As soon as they said that, I felt it. I lay down on my knapsack. I was hollering and screaming. I felt like I was going to die. Buckle, 29, said he was in the hospital for 5 days and in a bed at his Queens home for a month after undergoing surgery for a lacerated liver and stomach. He said he also suffered cuts, bruises, scratches, etc., blah, blah, blah. Defendants charged, let me get the defendant's names here. You guys will love these names. He's an audio-video engineer, independent filmmaker. He said the fight started outside Independent Film Center in Lower Manhattan where he was trying to sell videos he had made. So he's one of these bugs who's set up a table and he's selling bootleg videos. She just started dogging me out, being loud and disrespectful. I think I called her an elephant and told her I wasn't talking to her. Someone attacked me from behind. One girl called for some guys to come beat me up. A guy got me on the floor / sidewalk, and I was jumped again. Let me find these girls' names.
This was in Queens?
This is in New York, yeah. I mean,
isn't that where all the Jews are, in Queens?
There's Jews all over New York. I mean, you can't really... The only place they're not in is Harlem, really.
Right.
But anywhere, you're going to have a huge population of... the bottom line is this is called a hate crime. And it just makes you wonder, how the hell they get... here's their names. Patrice Johnson, Renetta Hill, Venice Brown, Terrain Dandridge, and that's just some of them. So these
sexual
are all
orientation.
Mother. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not a detective, but I can already tell what happened.
He's not a detective, he's a defective.
You fucking nugget. I can already tell what happened. Is that these chicks probably walked by, all fucking 10 lesbians or whatever, and some fags in a group, and he probably said, yo, baby, why don't you buy some of my videos? You fine, this and that. And they're being lesbian. They went and attacked him. That's how it happened. Because that's how the nigger is, you know? It's like,
I think said something like that in one of the articles, that he did actually make a comment to one of them. And it was her bloody dyke friend jumped him first.
Yeah, he probably said, oh, you got a big ass, baby. I like to hit that. And
man, your ass is sick, bitch. But yeah, I really found it amusing. I'm reading it, and yeah, it's actually in their hate crime section. Lesbians attacking a straight, the man's black. You know, I'm sure if he was a white man, it would be a hate crime against him for calling her an elephant.
Elephant. That's a hate crime against an elephant.
Yeah, right. No, well, you got to figure. I mean, eventually it's going to get to that point where it's a hate crime if somebody's fat and you call them an elephant, you know. Well, I'm fat. You know, that's discrimination or whatever the hell. You know, this world is a sick world, you know. And I just found it interesting that they're actually calling this a hate crime. And what
he
else?
He hates fat people. Oh, God.
Yeah.
They're people too, you bastard. Don't you know anything?
Another thing is that the Ben Gurion students are...
have a look at the picture that was just posted in the chat. That's the fucking ugliest alien thing I've ever seen sitting in a picture. Look at it. You can just see the look on its face. God damn, that's ugly, boy.
Likely he had...
That's an alien.
A cerebral shunt put in or something of that nature. I mean, it looks like he's had some hydrocephaly, and he may have a shunt in. From a medical point of view.
Hey, you know what, though, Tony? Looking at it, because it's a black kid, you almost think like he's saying, yo, there's a white person. We need to go rob those motherfuckers.
Yeah, poor kid. He's gonna have it rough.
I'm trying to see where there
based
it is
on
in
the
check.
Size of his head, though, he probably can add 2 + 2 is what I'm guessing. I mean, call me crazy, I know, but
Well, he might be pretty smart having twice the brain size.
Yeah, but if it's full of shit, though, as normally we know, I mean, that's not going to amount to anything.
Yeah, all that happened is his olfactory lobe is extra huge, so he can smell real good like an ape. You know, they're saying they found out that, you know, you hear this argument that Neanderthals were as smart as us. Their brain cavities were the same size. If you actually look at the brain cavity, it's the olfactory lobe is like three times the size of modern man's, which basically means they could smell like a dog, and that's why their brains were big. So, but yeah, that kid obviously...
Might be why the noses were larger.
That's what the Australian Aboriginal...
Yeah, I mean, you gotta... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
They shouldn't call them Australian Aboriginals, but the fucking Neanderthal things running around the countryside here apparently have got a section of their brain bigger than any other humans on the planet, and it's actually something to do with memory. And the anthropologist poofters have put it down to the fact that these guys used to be able to memorize every damn spot on the face of the map, where they could find water, where they could find bush tucker, where they could find this, that, and every other damn thing. So, you know, the primitives may have an advantage here and an advantage there, but in general, they're just fuck-ups.
Well, Rob, doesn't the normal white guy would, like, say, you know what, I'll just make a map out of it so I don't have to memorize it, and more important things I will memorize, you know?
Yeah, like not to piss and shit in your drinking water, duh.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, I took a crap here about 2 years ago. I could smell it, and I know there's drinking water over here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, these
guys are the most primitive of the primitive you're ever going to see.
Yeah, that's true. That from what I understand, the Aborigines are, I mean, they're pretty much just, they were in the Stone Age when the white man found them. Like, literally in the Stone Age.
What are you talking about? They're still in the fucking Stone Age. I got them living at the end of the street.
Hey, Rob, can I ask an honest question? Why do they do that standing on one leg thing and lift up the other leg like a crane? You know, the yellow piece of the shit that the old white people and Jews put in front of their lawns? What is that about?
That's selling postcards.
Oh.
I'm not a fucking Aboriginal, you nugget.
Well, fuck. Yeah, I would think you would know more about them. I mean, it doesn't seem like it would take that much. So, like, yeah. They're retarded and they lift their leg because they're pointing in a direction or something.
No, I don't know why they do that. No idea.
I know why. And they don't get any fiber in their diet and they're about ready to take a shit and it really hurts bad.
Oh, this is tearing the ass out of me. Oh.
That's like, did you hear about the transparent Aboriginal after the boxing match?
No, you tell us.
He got the shit beaten out of him.
Oh, boy.
Well, I like it. You can get fucked.
Well, did you guys hear the Ben Gurion University went to raise its tuition, and the students are going on a hunger strike for days now.
Oh my God!
Let's see what happens when Jews face a tuition tuition hike. They won't eat.
Damn!
It's like a catch-22 because the people who own the place are Jews, and it's natural for them to raise the price. But the people employing there are Jews, and it's natural for them not to pay the price that was raised to them. So you know what they're going to do? They're going to get the white man to pay for it. Oh, you see, if the white man pays for them to go to college, then they won't starve themselves and die. Oy vey.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you.
It's terrible.
I just thought of it.
Deny them their college education.
Yeah.
So they can learn more about the fucking Holocaust.
Well, you know what's interesting, Rob, is that no, I have yet to see any Aborigines, whatever the hell you call them, try to migrate to the U.S.
Look, nobody owes nobody nothing. You owe yourself.
Well, what the hell was that?
I don't know.
Did it go in here? Or did Mark open his mouth again?
That was.
There are, believe it or not, there are actually Aborigines that have emigrated to the United States, because I know of one in particular who was adopted by white Americans.
Yes.
There was a big shit fight. He tried to sue them because they denied him his heritage or some Mark the Yahoo bullshit.
Did you all know that Condoleezza Rice had an oil tanker named after her?
Condoleezza Rice?
Yep.
I think I heard that. I don't know where I heard that. It seemed like it was on a radio show.
What the fuck?
I've seen a
photo
of
do?
Or was it Von Bluvens? It may have been Von Bluvens.
What the fuck does this person do anyway, Condoleezza Rice? What does she really do? What is her job?
Super magical Negro.
Yeah, I mean, she goes to these places like the Russians. They're like, oh, that nigga's coming over here. You know, I mean, what does she do when she goes over to these countries, you know?
Yeah, she goes to Russia, tells them they need to open up to democracy, and she's an expert on the Russians, and she can't even Panyumeo Peruski correctly. And they go, what the fuck is she trying to say?
You know, the Jews have pawned off onto white America that she's a fucking genius. It's like these idiot neocons that I talk to, they're like, every one of them.
Yes. They didn't lie to you, she is a genius. What they didn't tell you was the rest of the people taking the test were all in grade one.
Okay, yeah.
See, they didn't lie.
No, but honestly, they pawn her off onto the Republicans that she's the most wonderful, intelligent person in the world, and I have yet to find anything that she's done since she got appointed into the position that she is in to accomplish anything. What has this fucking idiot done? I mean, what do any of these niggers do in Washington once they're appointed to a position, you know?
Well, Tom, systematic, man. They put a fucking female, which is like taboo in front of the Muslim culture, and they put like a black female. What is she going to do? Piss them off, which is what they want, you know?
Yeah,
it's almost like degrading.
Very true.
Die in a field.
Well, you know, not to change the subject, but I just found something I got to read to you guys.
Okay.
This is in New Jersey. It's in the Trenton Daily Record. The school district did not protect a bisexual student. In the case of Jackson Township, the school district is accused of allowing a hostile environment to prevail against a self-described bisexual student born in Honduras who attended Jackson Memorial High School from September 2002 to June 2006. I just wanted to read this quote because these are absolutely fucking classic. The bisexual student requested a class transfer in November 2005 because of what the student said were persistent jokes and derogatory comments. State investigator had examined documents but never verbally interviewed district employees involved in it. We want to participate in the process. We want our opportunity to present our side of the matter. A leading advocate for New Jersey's gay community welcomed the state's stepped-up enforcement. This is another sign that New Jersey is a true national progressive leader, said Stephen Goldstein, chairman of advocacy group of Garden State Equality. A ruling against the school district could result in it being penalized for up to $10,000 as long as it hasn't been convicted of another discrimination violation in the past 5 years. You know, we got a person who wasn't even born in the United States who's not white, who's a faggot, who is now suing the school and causing problems for them. This is what New Jersey's turning into. Sorry to change the subject. I'm looking through headlines, and I found this, and it made me fucking sick.
The problem with that sort of thing is that they've fucked the law up that much. If you're going to bring a tort action, you're meant to be able to go into a court and prove some form of a loss.
Right.
Financial loss, a material loss, damage to reputation, something that's quantifiable.
Right.
But the Jews have made it, and it's all about feelings.
Yep.
So you get to a court now, and they say, oh, my feelings was hurt, he called me a dirty kike, or something fucking stupid that's not quantifiable, and it can't be proved.
You know what's great?
Can't prove it. So
the
now you've got all
lining.
You can't prove damage. You can't prove any form of a loss.
The whole silver lining on all this hate crime legislation and you know, feel-good legislation is that once it's enacted, once it's there, and you got people that are like, you got the gays, you got the blacks, you got the Mexicans, and as they become a bigger part of America, basically they're going to be enacting this hate crimes legislation on each other. So it's going to swamp the courts with bullshit stories, and 99% of the cases are not going to involve whites at all. It's going to be involving faggots, lesbians beating up blacks, blacks beating up Mexicans, blah, 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 and then Jews getting in the process as well.
I'm
going to
call the police.
You know, the better part of the story is than that.
What's up?
What's even better about hate crimes is
okay.
our Jewish friends have got one idiosyncrasy that they can never actually curb. And they just don't know when to call it quits. They never know when enough is enough. They just keep squeezing and squeezing and squeezing till eventually they either get slaughtered or they get
what
kicked out.
What
so
is that? Are you talking about that fucked up hat they wear?
I thought he was talking about gefilte fish, buddy. Come on.
Anyway, the thing is, what will happen is they will keep squeezing and squeezing, and
what?
More people will begin to realize what the truth is, purely because they're pushing them into it.
Is that
it's habitable for Europe?
What is it? What is the point that you were going to make?
I'm saying that with the hate crimes legislation, when people are getting done for saying the wrong thing, it works against the Jews.
Oh, yeah,
right.
yeah, definitely.
The Jews have got a tendency to squeeze the host population, and they don't know where to draw the line. Why do you think they got kicked out of every country in Europe? Because
yeah.
that's what they do. They just don't know when to stop.
Yeah, they take it too far, and they're taking it too far right now as we speak.
Well, think
because
about this.
They haven't got there yet.
Right.
Well, let's think about this. Imagine if, like, as soon as it's going to pass, well, might not pass, but imagine if 10,000 women file lawsuits against whoever the video promoters are of the videos that say, yo, you my hoe, bitches, and all that shit of all the nigger fucking rap stuff.
Well, that's
what
needs
to happen.
They'd have to be specific. There'd have to be some specific injury.
No. There is no injury. There is. If you read the hate crime, it's like you're intimidated.
Yeah.
So if I'm intimidated by, you know, some fucking groid calling, saying nigger ho and ho your channel, whatever, bitches, you know, and I'm intimidated, I could file a fucking claim on that, you know.
Yeah, it's
all emotional.
And whether they win it or not doesn't matter. The fact that they're filing motions are flooding the courts with bullshit hate crime allegations that the courts can't deal with. I think it's beautiful.
No, well, that'll get kicked out. I mean, you've got to show. You can bring a complaint, but it'll be frivolous if you can't show some damage. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about making you whole.
That's for a normal tort action. But where you got your hate crimes, that's what I was saying before. It doesn't work like that. There's no quantifiable actual injury that you can prove. It's just your feelings are hurt. And they're winning on that. The Jews are winning on it in fucking every country going. They've done it in Australia. We don't have hate crimes. So they got Fred Tobin to shut his website down by going through the back door. They said that they were vilified and their feelings were hurt. So they got him to a equal opportunity or some shit tribunal, and they gave an order which they couldn't enforce to shut the site down, and when he didn't, they then took him to the Federal Court of Australia and got him done that way. Now he's up for contempt of court. And it's all on feelings. There's no quantifiable damage. But one of you guys posted on the forum the other day about this hate crimes bill that was going to go through. And it won't get through, but all I was going to say to you guys is let them do it. If they want to bring a hate crimes law in, let them do it. And then the next day that it's actually in force, all of you guys file against Sonny and all of those fuckers with the rap music.
Yeah, but you know, we're not protected under the hate bill. It's only minority groups. So we would have no case whatsoever.
Hold on a second. I live in L.A., man. all I got to do is drive down to West L.A. and walk around, and if some faggot hits up on me and starts getting aggressive with me, I could file a fucking hate claim against him saying...
No, you can't. You're not protected under the hate law. If you read it, it specifically states the groups that are protected, and it's non-whites and homosexuals and women.
No, it doesn't state that, though.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't, man. The way it's written, it says that if you are emotionally offended, it doesn't basically say, if there's no verbiage in there that says fags and niggers, and if you're of this race, it protects you. It doesn't say that. You know,
he's saying something different, Mark. He's saying that if you look into the preamble, in the preamble of all of old statutes, it will always give you the definition of what it's about, and it usually will define all the terms in the preamble or the index, whatever terminology they're using. And what he's saying is that the protected classes for the purposes of that act is defined as being this, 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 and this, and white people are not part of it.
Yep, unless they're females.
But that
but
doesn't
white...
matter. So what? You go in front of the court and you tell them you are a minority.
That's
and when
true.
They say that you're not, you just go and say, well, shit, there's only, you know, 100 million whites or whatever it is out of 6 billion people on the planet. We are the minority. And allow them to say, no, that's not the case. Then the next thing you do is go for the judge for discrimination.
Gotcha. Yeah, I guess, I mean, you can put a spin on it however you need to, but I'm telling you the bottom line is it's specifically made for certain groups. For protection of certain groups, and white males are not included in that law. I read the listing of groups, and it was women, Asians, blacks, and immigrants. I guess if you're a white immigrant, you're protected, and handicapped people are protected as well, but that's it.
But see, the thing is, you know that if you attempt to litigate using the hate crimes law, you know you're not going to get a decision in your favor anyway. So if you're attempting to open an action, all you're attempting to do is to use it as a cudgel and beat the courts down. If we can get enough actions going in, they'll freak out. And the other thing as well is everything that goes onto the record in the court is in the public domain. You make a claim that, you know, Tupac said whites are demons and let's kill the whites and all this sort of stuff, that goes onto the public record of a court, even if they throw your claim out.
Right. That's a good point. And you know what?
It's propaganda.
And it's Jewish money that you're messing with, because they're the ones that own all these record companies. So yeah, absolutely. You know, I agree. Even if you don't win, even if you have no shot, you might as well stir up the shit pot and make it stink.
It's even better if you can get it as a class action. All you need is 100 people. I reckon if they pass that hate crimes law, between the people on VNN, do you reckon we could get enough stuff out of rap songs and enough people to sign a class action to launch in the Supreme Court of the U.S.? Do you reckon we could find 100 people on VNN?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it'd take like a fucking hour. Like, that's not hard.
Yeah, and we could hire some bullshit lawyer to do it and everything. I mean, it would be...
No, you could get a lawyer as easy as pie. All you do is talk to Edgar Steele.
Or John A. Flynn.
It's so beautiful.
Cool. But I think Edgar Steele would be the guy to talk to. He's got his head switched on, and, you know, he's worked for Prussian Blue. He's been on that fucking Donny Deutsch show. He's got a little bit of notoriety out there, and he's not afraid to go up against the authorities. And I like the guy's style.
Certainly has experience.
He's a good guy.
And a no-nonsense approach.
That's it. And he knows his... He doesn't just talk about law.
Yeah, he's well-mannered. He's calm. I've seen him on the show. He doesn't get out of control. He's well-spoken. He thinks before he speaks. That's a great thing about him.
You know what I like the best? I downloaded a video clip of him on the Donny Deutsch show, and that stupid nigger with Yahoo and carrying on, and the Jew fucked up because he says to Edgar, he says, yeah, that's right. What have the blacks ever done for us, in a sarcastic tone? So Edgar leans forward and he says, they invented peanut butter. He got that in, and they didn't edit it out.
That's fantastic.
But But he's the sort of guy that I would suggest that you use as a front.
Well, you know what though, Rob, is that he definitely needs a haircut because his hairstyle fucking sucks. I love him.
Oh man, that is great. I think
action we want you to do for us, but before that, get a fucking haircut, you puke.
You nugget.
Like, oh,